You are now listening to Productivity Boss Moves with Robert Price. For more, visit robertprice.co.
Welcome to Productivity Boss Moves. This is your host, Productivity Coach Robert Price, and I'm here today with another amazing guest. I'm here with Aisha Moore Hughes, and she is a self-care guru. And me and Aisha, we connected through a business accountability group that we're in together. And one of the things that, you know, I shared with her when we talked was, you know, this piece about how this time self-care being more important than ever, you know, just with going through COVID and, you know, the quarantine and how, you know, people just need kind of like an added bonus measure of self-care education, because it's such a unique time. And so I asked her, would she come on the podcast and talk about some of her juiciest self-care principles? And she agreed. So without, you know, going any further, Aisha, would you introduce yourself to the people? Like, who are you? How did you get here?
Yeah, first I would like to thank you, Robert, for inviting me here, because you are right. This is a topic that I think everyone should be talking about, but I don't see it as much as I would like. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to let the people know, you know, absolutely, how they can thrive and get through this time by using self-care.
Great, great. So tell us a little bit about your journey. Like, who are you? How did you, you know, end up kind of picking this space of self-care, this industry that you are, you know, that you're schooling people on now?
Mm-hmm. So I didn't pick this industry. This okay. industry picked me.
Yes. See, that was, I was throwing you an alley-oop. See, I knew, I was like, she's going to say the industry picked her. See, yes, I knew, it, yes. It go with your gut. Me.
But the industry that I chose, the way I was raised and reared, was to be of service. My father told me every single day to make a difference. And mind you, my parents were divorced, but I saw my father like every day, Monday through Friday, and he said, make a difference, right? But sometimes, so that's a principle that he, you know, a value he put into my life, but that still can be kind of vague. And sometimes we get into trouble when we work upon vague principles, right? So to me, I interpreted make a difference as like do everything, be everything to all people, serve. How many hours in the day? I don't know. How many hours in the week? I don't know. You just always need to be of service. So every moment and every chance I got was to be of service. I work, my background is in public health, so I work in health behavior, health education at a consulting firm. So just in my 9 to 5, I'm of service. So I could go do 9 to 5, come home, I've already served 8-10 hours. But ask my husband, I never come home. I would never come home straight after work. I was always at a meeting. You know, we had to clean up the environment, the farmer, I was on the board of the farmers market on some national things. And that was all well and good, because I was, you know, in alignment with that value of being of service, but of service to everyone, and I had never thought about how are you fueling the service? And then so with all the, you know, doing all these things, you get recognized. I was very much honored in a lot of ways, award winning service, and then I got, an old job called me and asked me if I would come back. They had this position that would be perfect for. Well, I had been putting it out there in my vision and just kept telling everybody I wanted to be a manager. And they're like, why don't you be a director? you don't have to interview for this, essentially. You know, essentially, this is job as yours. We're just going to talk about it, make sure it's the right fit. And boom, there you have it. So it seemed to be working, right? Being of service seemed to be getting me, you know, the honors, accolades, the job, the money, the title, all of these things, right? So this was a very demanding position. It was at a national level, things like, you know, the White House calls you and asks you to do things. So this was the Obama White House. Let me be clear. I wasn't. And so that's highly demanding. But it never occurred to me that I had sort of reached the goal to get this management position, and that was enough. And maybe I needed to pass on all of these other pieces of service to a younger person who wanted these same opportunities. But instead, I was hogging all opportunities. I had all the titles. I walk in the room, they're like, "Oh, girl, that's your title. President of this and director of that." And so that was all well and good until one day, I just started to not feel well. And I was just blaming it on the DC heat. So what I realized now is that I didn't know the signs of burnout or stress on the body. So I was missing them all. So I want your audience to know what some of those might be.
Okay.
So my body temperature, I couldn't regulate it. So I kept thinking it was just, you know, hot DC summers. I'd get on the metro and I'd be like, why is everyone so close to me? Why am I sweating all the time? That kind of thing. My stomach was hurting, especially on Mondays. I was good on the weekend, but Monday would come, my stomach would hurt. Let's see. I think of it as the Pepto-Bismol song. So nausea, heartburn, stomach ache, indigestion. Luckily, I didn't have that last one. And for people who are old enough to know the song, you're very blessed that that one never came around. And so I was missing all the signs that I was under tremendous stress with all the things that I had to do, that it got to the point where I had to go on short-term disability.
Okay.
And so I remember one of my coworkers who worked in a different office in another city coming to work with me. And he looked at me and he said, "Aisha, how do you work like this all the time?" And I said, "I don't work like this all the time." And as I was saying it, I was like, "Oh, girl, you are lying to yourself," right?
Yes.
So I think, so that's really how this came to be, was that, like many people, high achieving, getting the accolades, have the title, have the money, but then I'm completely depleted and not really being able to show up in the way that I really needed to. But people were just impressed by it because I was showing up to all these things. I had all the titles. But when I really think about when my father told me to make a difference, I definitely know now that I only need to do one of those things to make a difference. I didn't have to do five or six of those things to make a difference. So I would say to the people who were listening, like, it's definitely quality over quantity that you need to be thinking about in terms of service. And so when you think about, when you have less things to serve on, then you have more time to pour into yourself, right, for that one thing that you are doing.
Yeah. And let me just say that is so difficult right now, especially because, you know, the racial reconciliation piece and social justice, that's been like a huge, you know, topic of conversation lately, and a huge mission for people. And, you know, there's people sending me videos and stuff every day and inviting me to different groups and, you know, figuring out different ways that I could get involved. And I just had to have a real conversation with myself about, don't take your eye off the ball, right? Like, figure out, here's where I'm going to make my contribution. This is the group I'm going to be a part of. Here's where I'm going to plant my flag. You know, so, you know, I'm going to contribute, but I'm just going to be focused in this area and this group on how I make that contribution, because it's like, you literally would be, it's a new job for you. So what you're saying, I mean, I'm feeling that right now. You know, where do you get involved in helping people out who are struggling and, you know, in terms of not having certain supplies and things of that nature, as far as COVID is concerned, even. Like there's a number of places you can serve, but where do you pick your spot? So yeah, that's very important.
Right. Yeah. So a lot of times we're doing too much because we don't realize that how much stress we're under. So stress, like just to define it, is like your body's reaction to any demand that's put upon it. Right. So that can be, that's kind of general, but that's literally our body doesn't know the difference between different things. Like for me, one of the things I had to work on was my timeliness. I was often late. And I would commute to work via train. And so we have some of these long escalators. So I was constantly running up these escalators, right? So my body didn't know the difference between the fact that I'm running up the escalator because I'm late versus the fact that there is a lion chasing me. As far as my body is concerned, that it's just the lion chasing me. And so internally, we can't see it, but my body is having that reaction every single day because I was late every day. Flexible schedule and still late. Like I was a mess, right? I was a hot mess, right?
Hey, I'm in the late family.
So yeah, hot mess.
I'm not judging you.
Right, hot mess. And so like, and again, so we're putting all these pressures on your body. So not knowing where my keys were, right? So sometimes we think of like these acute traumatic things. So we'll talk about COVID being like traumatic. But before we got to COVID, right, we weren't at baseline stress-free. There's no stress-free day. So we always, stress happens every day. So self-care has to happen every single day, right?
That's so good. I think let's pause there, right? Stress happens every day. So self-care needs to happen every day. That's a bar. Yeah.
Yeah. So when we think about pre-COVID, right? We have to add up like what our baseline stress was at before that. And so again, there might be like death in the family, job loss. Those are things that we can identify, but little things like not knowing where your keys are. Once you find them, you get in the car and you realize you have no gas, right? Nobody, let's not even get to the car yet. That's before the keys. You wake up and you're like, I don't have a washcloth and I'm not sure if this basket of clothes is clean or dirty, right? No. this is people's real life. This is the chaos.
Right.
Then you can't find your keys. Then you have no gas. So before you even get to being of service, your body's like, bruh, I've had enough. Right? Because you've made a million different decisions. You had these small moments of panic because every time you realize something like, I have no socks. I have no, you know, you have that little breath in. Oh no, I have to get gas, right? And now everybody on the road is in your way and they're driving slow, you know, because you had to take those minutes to get gas. And when you got to the gas station, everybody and their mother was getting gas too, filling the tanks all the way. So that whole time you're like, right? So that's like baseline stress that a lot of us have that we have responsibility that we can solve. And so that's what I try to talk to people about is like, control what you can control. And we can control a lot of those things, right? Because then once you get to wherever you're going, then, you know, for most people who are employed, go to a job, right? Then there's all the stress that comes with that. So you didn't get to work with like at zero at stress. Maybe all those little things were, you're at a two, right? And then if you're taking care, you have kids or you're taking care of a loved one, you know, you've added a couple more notches on the stress, then everything that happens through the day. So at the end of the day, we're ended up at a seven and we can go to sleep at a seven and then wake back up as a seven, or we can make sure to be like, oh, I'm at a seven today. What can I do for myself? What works for me to bring me back down to like between zero and two? So I don't start tomorrow at a seven and then we're over 10. As soon as we don't know where our keys are, right? And that's how we operate.
Right. Got it. So I think you did a great job of laying out that kind of explanation of stress and how it's there, whether we're combating it or not, you know, we're waking up to it. So if you could just help us with, how do you address that? Like, what are some principles that you would give us in terms of, you know, eliminating or minimizing this stress?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So think about when COVID happened. What were a lot of people trying to do? They were trying to go on spring break, right? They were trying to go somewhere because it's like mid to the end of the first quarter. and people plan their life cycle like that. We're going to just go, 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 go. And then we're going to take this long week long break. So you're carrying all of that accumulated stress, like for people who don't do anything about it and just kind of accumulate it and wait for these milestones, right? Then that got taken away from them. Not only did the break get taken away, then we had for everybody, this we're under this long period of uncertainty. So that's adding stress. So what I think I want people to know about the stress and uncertainty around COVID is that it's like an idling car, right? So you have it on, you're not going anywhere, but that it's still using a little tiny bit of gas. It's using a little tiny bit of battery. And if you were let the car idle long enough, the battery would just die. It wouldn't be able to start all the way, right? And you're not necessarily like super aware of that. You don't feel that drain, and that's what COVID is doing to us. So we have to account for the fact that just the uncertainty, the having to redo our routines over, that's something that all of us are experiencing. Then you may have a frontline worker who feels like they're putting themselves at risk every day. For other people, they have children. And so we have to remember that for a lot of us, we accumulated 3 months of stress. We were waiting to release it on a vacation or a spring break or something of that nature. That didn't happen. And then we added all of this uncertainty and all this change. So we're at a really, really high level, right? So I just want to like round out the picture for you. Right. If you don't believe you're stressed, you are. That's what I want everybody to know, that it's there. So you have to do something about it. So the question you asked was,
I know I'm stressed.
Right?
I learned very early because I'm an extrovert. As well. So I learned very early in this, pandemic, like I need to be very like intentional and proactive about dealing with my stress, because I get energy from people. Like I get pumped up from being around people, and there's no people in this except for the people you live with. But, absence makes the heart grow fonder. I'm just going to say that. For sure.
Okay, so now that we explain where we are, because like I said before, I did not accept that I was stressed out. I did not accept it. So I want, so first stage is to accept that there is an issue, right? So I want everybody to be clear about that. So what do we do? So often, especially for women, there's so many things that you could do for self-care, right? But for women, the first thing we want to do is we want to go do something spotlight. We want to get our nails done, our hair done, and all that. And so for a lot of women, that was their self-care of choice. Now the shops are all closed. Mm-hmm. So that's gone, right? So now it's like, what do we do? So I think back to the idea of like biology, the first things we should do is just take care of what, our basic biological needs, because often we go way over here and your body's like, could you drink water?
Just a little bit.
Can you drink some water? Whether people know it or not, being dehydrated causes you to be irritable, you can't focus. And those are the things that we need right now. We need to be able to give other people grace during the season of COVID. And so water will help you be more graceful, right?
There's grace in water.
Yes, when you think about it, right?
Got it, yeah.
Help you to be more graceful, you'll sleep better, all the things that you need, that's what we need to do first. So we don't need to like go on the meditation retreat, all those things, because you can do all of that, which are things are great and fine, but like there's so much that can come from just nourishment. So we need to drink that water to stay hydrated.
So how much would you suggest for it to make a difference? Like, do I just need a sip of water?
People say like half your body weight in ounces of water. But to me, like, I think like minimum, if you could get a liter in, right? If you could get like a liter in, like, we just need baseline. Like you said, 1%.
Help me out, because I'm a little bit, a liter, how many ounces is that?
I don't know. Probably.
I think it's about, actually, I do know that. Like I think about 33 ounces.
Yeah, you're right. It's like 33 ounces. You're right. Yeah. So 33 ounces, right? Mm-hmm. So, get some water and then get some sleep. So the first thing to do is you want to make sure that you get you know, somewhere between at least 7 hours of sleep. And if you look at sleep statistics, the whole East Coast, it just doesn't sleep. If you're in the South, y'all be sleeping, but the East Coast is not sleep. And so we need to get that sleep. But the key to getting enough sleep is to give yourself a chance to get enough sleep. So you need a bedtime.
I love it. I love the bedtime. So what are we talking?
You need to respect it. And I respect my bedtime because I set it for 9:45 p.m. Okay. But at 9 o'clock on my phone, an alarm comes on that says, stop scrolling Instagram and go read a book. Because that is my cue to make that shift and start to turn off. So that way around 9:45 or so, I'm at least in the bed. I may not be asleep, but I'm at least like in the bed.
Got it.
And so, if I'm not, then I know that I need to compensate it for it on the other end. I need to either sleep in later and not start my day later. But for me, if I want to start my day at 5:45, I got and be coherent, I have to do it the other way. But that's because I have that goal. So if you don't have a goal around that, stay up late as you want. If you're not trying to wake up early, stay up late as you want. But then just know the consequences on the other end of not getting enough sleep.
The stress persists.
Yeah, the stress persists. So I would say, so on the biological level, you want to do that. The other thing is, as I was mentioning, you want to deal with the personal chaos, right? So we talked about not knowing where your keys are. Well, now you're going to want to know where they are. You want to handle that laundry. You want to make, you know, sure the car has gas. And so these are all things that are not natural for me. Mm-hmm. Right. I didn't, all the things I'm saying to you is because that's who I used to be. And so I realized that I needed to, if I wanted to get rid of some of the stress, there are definitely stressful people in my life who were too demanding and all of that. And we'll get to that in a moment. But the first step was like, well, what can I do? Like, what can I do to decrease some of this personal, what I call personal chaos, in my life? How can I become more orderly? Like, that was one of the key things, because that was less decisions I had to make and less stressful moments I had to recover from. Because running around tearing up your house looking for your keys is a stressful moment, and now I don't have to recover from that as much because it's just not an occurrence anymore.
Got it. So what's the thing about that? You know, we keep coming back to the keys. What can I, you know, what's something, have you done something with your keys? Cause that's happened to me on several occasions. I'm ready to go, but my keys are not ready to go.
Right.
Like, I can't locate them.
Right. Yeah. And it seems so simple, right? Cause people expect me to talk about like these super dramatic things that are stressing us out, but it's the accumulation of these little things. Right, it's accumulated. So how to find your keys, right? So they need a home. They need a home. And one of the things that I learned, because, you know, we're talking about order, a lot of people were reading that book and watching that Netflix show with Marie Kondo about the magic of tidying up. So she's all about tidying. I tried it. I did okay. But like with a lot of things, sometimes maybe you can't adopt entire systems, but you can adopt one piece of it. So for women, she recommends that you clean out your purse every single day. And so I try to take everything out, because again, we carry too much stuff. So now we're like making our shoulders hurt because we're carrying all this stuff. And so to clean out, get rid of all those papers, those receipts. And so then I can check, like, put your keys in there. They're going to be in there. I even stopped carrying my entire purse. I was like, I don't need to carry all this stuff, especially during the time of COVID. I don't even know where my purse is. Like, this is all you need, right?
Wait, but your keys are in there, though.
Yeah.
You don't know where it's...
I have a smaller one.
Okay, I got you.
I got a smaller one. Right, so just, so that's the thing, like, doing that reset. So for some people, it's night routine, right? So they want to clean it out at night and make sure it's in there. Other people, it might be the morning routine. It's like, okay, before I get going, Let me find out where they are before I get going with everything else, instead of letting that be the last thing, right? So I think, so order really, really helps people who are under a lot of stress, people who are at higher levels where they have a lot of decisions to make. The last thing, you don't want that to take you out. You don't want this little stuff to take you out. It's like the dog ate my homework, right? You don't want the little stuff to take you out, because you're, like you said, this is a productivity boss, right? So you're a boss. and your keys are taking you out, you know, out of order, right? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right. I like it. So it's like, it's the little foxes, you know, that really get in our way. And that's really simple. The thing I like about what you said is everybody can do this, like, now. They can do this today. This is not something that they have to, you know, prepare for weeks to try to get going. But there's a question that I often ask, and you know, sometimes we get information and it's like we hear it, and the danger is that if it's something we've heard before or we hear often, our brains like just shut down to it. But there's something I heard that I want to say at this moment. Just ask yourself, you're listening and you're like, man, I know I got to drink water. I know I got to sleep. And I know I got to find a home for my keys. Like, I know I have to do these things. But the question is not, do I know? The question is not, do I know this? The question, the four words is, am I doing this? Right? That's what we all have to ask ourselves, because all these little things, it's like I don't know if it was on the podcast recently, but I was just talking about decision fatigue and how that plays into stress. And so what you're doing is you're actually, by creating a plan for these things, you're eliminating these decisions, these small decisions that can really be on auto, you know. But if we don't come up with a plan for it, those problems and those stresses that go along with not having a plan for them, they still exist. So, you know, I just want to challenge people who are listening, like, hey, I know I need to drink water, but I want you to ask yourself, am I drinking enough? You know, I'm telling you right now, if you're exercising, you can't go with the 33 ounces, right? You're going to have to... You're gonna have to do more than that. But hey, if you're not very active, you're mostly sitting at the desk and things of that nature, hey, that might be a good start for you. But yeah, no, it's good stuff. So help us out. So, you know, every week on a podcast, we kind of boil it down to one thing, like that productivity boss move of the week. Like, if the listeners, they don't do anything else, this is the one thing that they can do that could help them be 1% better. What is that thing you would like to leave the audience with?
I would say it is to respect your time and energy balance.
Okay.
Because what I mean by that, what I mean by that is we have to think of our time and energy as a bank, right? So everything that we do is going to either be putting a deposit in terms of energy into you, or it's going to be withdrawing, right? So this thing that I did, it, you know, it made me feel good, or it made me feel bad. It stressed me out, or it didn't stress me out. So we have to make sure that we have more self-care deposits every day versus withdrawals. And so we have to have an awareness of that. It can't just be, it just can't be like in your head. So I really recommend that people periodically like do a stress audit, like the entire day. Like often people will do this to see, I'm sure you tell people as the productivity coach that they need to like audit their day and see what they're doing, how they spend their time.
Absolutely.
But connected to that, you need to figure out, so what is you're spending on your time on? How is that making you feel? What is that doing to you? Like mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually? Is it draining you or not? And so when a lot of people put that third column on that audit, that, you know, they'll see that there's hardly anything on there for self-care, for meaning, for enjoyment, for spirituality. And then they'll see, right? So there's not enough stuff on that. Then they'll have some stuff on there that is like less productive time, which I think everybody needs to have. But it could be, again, like scrolling Instagram and stuff like that. And you realize like, oh, I feel really anxious after Instagram because I, you know, like you said, people are sending me different videos and things of that nature. So we have to really look at like, how does our, what is our, what we do every day, how does it impact us like on that emotional level? And how can we either get rid of some of those things that we realize like, this is not adding to my life, this is only making me feel bad, and how can you replace it with something designed to make you feel better and or prepare you to withstand the stressful things that you cannot change, right? You know, yeah. Unless you, you know, if you have a boss that has a bad attitude, unless you go get a new job, you're gonna be there. So you need to be doing things that help you sustain and maintain through that, right? And so yeah. A lot of times we have these sort of like empty times where we're kind of just like chilling out, which everyone needs that, but sometimes we could be a little bit more proactive, right? Than just like mindless thing. We can think like, okay, I'm gonna do the self-care activity because I need it to buffer all the other stress that I realize I'm under in on my day. So it's really like that first, like the, like I would say like to, for me, the first step in like getting a solid self-care plan is having a clear vision. Like why are you doing anything that you're doing? But the second is that awareness. We just often lack awareness as to how everything that we're doing impacts our mind, body, and spirit. We just do it on autopilot.
Got it. So how do I do that? Do I just get a piece of paper and I write, you know, kind of what's stressing me out on one side and then what I'm going to replace it with on the other side? Mm-hmm. Or
yeah, like, that's, I can break it okay. down.
Cool. So could, that could be the activity then, right? Just, and it actually, what you mentioned sounds it's really similar to a guest I had on a couple of weeks ago, Andrea Lane. She talked about she's a business coach, and she talked about actually write down all of your work task. And she talked about, you know, having the stuff you like to do on one side and the stuff you don't like to do on the other side. And the way she put it was to automate, delegate, or eliminate the things that are on the dislike side. And so you're saying something similar here where you're having the people to look at, hey, this is the stuff that's stressing me out. This is the stuff that's causing me stress. And so here's my plan for that. Here's how I'm going to replace that or eliminate that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So cool stuff. So the productivity boss move of the week in these simple words would be to get a sheet of paper. On one side, write what's the things that stress you out. And then on the other side, you're either going to draw a line through the things that I can just simply eliminate this and take this out. I don't need this to continue to stress me out. But if it's something, that's needed, right, kind of draw an arrow and talk and put that thing that you're going to replace it with. So that's good stuff.
Right. And make sure it matches, right? So we're not going to, again, if you have a boss with a bad attitude, the remedy is not a manicure, right? So you want to make sure that when you draw that arrow, that thing that's on the other side that you're replacing with actually is a solution.
Yes. I got
it. What you're working on. So I want to make that part clear.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Yeah. That make sure what make sure what you replace
exactly a remedy.
Yeah, is it matches the I'm thinking of that phrase, the crime matched the time type of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, make sure your solution matches what you need to do in that area to move you forward. Cool stuff. cool stuff. I think just having people sit down and even thinking about what is stressing me out, right? Because like I even go back to that time in the beginning towards the beginning of the quarantine, I was like really irritable at one point. And like, I didn't stop to think, why am I irritable? But then I was on a call and they were just talking about extrovert versus introvert and how the quarantine is affecting people. And I was like, part of my frustration may be stemming from not, being around people. But one thing that has helped me, this is a bonus move. One thing that has helped me is actually going outside to do work, to be on calls or whatever the case may be. For some reason, being outside makes me feel less, trapped and less like I need someone. Like, it's okay when I'm outside. I'm more peaceful. My mind is more peaceful then. So. Yeah, so good stuff. Everyone, first of all, thank you for taking the time to speak to the Productivity Boss Move listeners about this subject matter, because we certainly all need help in this area, this self-care area. So thank you for your knowledge and expertise, and truly appreciate you coming through.
Thanks for having me, Robert.
Oh, no problem at all. No problem at all. Hey, everybody, remember, it's not enough to dream. We must do something about it. I'm Robert Price, your productivity coach, helping you focus on what matters most. Everybody have a productive week.
Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Productivity Boss Moves. If you have any questions, topic suggestions, or just want to say hello, visit robertprice.co. If you haven't done so already, please take a minute and leave a quick rating and review of the show on Apple Podcasts or any other platform you listen to.